Welcome to another episode of the Bundesliga Show. My name is John Hartley from the Bundesliga World blog. I'm joined by Terry DeFellem from the Bundesbag. Terry, we made it through episode one and we haven't been begged not to do another one, so here we are.
We are indeed, John. Yes, thank you. We haven't been, on the contrary, in fact, we've had some extremely pleasant things said about us on Twitter. So for those of you who said nice things about the Bundesliga show last week, we thank you very much indeed for that and we hope that you enjoy this edition. Just a brief apology beforehand. I'm having work done in the house, so if you can hear hammering and the sound of men working hard, then that'll be not me. That'll be the builders in the background. So I apologise for any background information noise.
Is the west wing of DeFellem Towers nearly complete then?
It's almost complete, and you can expect an invite in the next couple of weeks.
Well, pod listeners, that's an invite to all of you, obviously.
No. Oh, well, actually, no, we probably could. We probably could, judging by, we get a few listeners. We've had a few listeners, and I reckon we could squeeze them into Duff Towers.
Okay, let's take a brief look at last weekend's action. There were stacks and stacks of goals in the Bundesliga. The biggest result was found on the Betzenberg, where Kaiserslautern beat Schalke 5-0. And here we thought that there were better times ahead for the Royal Blues.
Yes. We made a similar joke about this in the Sound of Football about Liverpool, about after having Liverpool, we thought having turned a corner, and then suddenly that beeping sound you hear is the sound of them reversing back round it again, and this appears to be happening for Schalke. A fantastic performance by Kaiserslautern. We are going to talk about Schalke in 2 seconds, but let us just quickly dwell on Kaiserslautern. Lakic is a marvellous player, as is Ilicevic, when I see them play, I don't know why they are where they are, and then obviously on the basis of this performance I know Schalke were poor, but goodness me, they really did give them a break at all, did they, Kaiserslautern? They really said, right, you're rubbish and we're going to take you to the cleaners, like every good team should do against a rubbish team. It was a great performance.
Oh, it certainly was a great performance, and they were at them completely from the off as well. I'd say for Schalke, they were more than a little bit embarrassing at corners. Statues, I'd say.
Yeah, just a bit. It was I don't know. I mean, I think the problem is universally, whenever a team is in bad form, even when it starts to kick itself out of it, they are capable of having really, really, really bad days. And when they have bad days, God, it's really embarrassing. I mean, as a Palace fan, I can testify to that, and I'm sure you can as well as a Yeovil fan. Sort of,
well, absolutely.
It's just not happening for them. But I genuinely think that Schalke are probably still heading in the right direction. We talked last week about their Champions League exploits, and it may well be that that's what's saving Magath.
Well, speaking of Felix Magath, he's been given the vote of confidence from the Schalke board, but he's also announced that the Christmas break is going to be cut short. He's rather upset by the result of Kaiserslautern. So is it just a case of him counting down the days until the winter break so he can remould the Königsblau?
Yep, absolutely. I think he's probably doing the right thing. I certainly think if I was a Schalke fan, I would be happy that this is what he's doing. I think in the first instance, you're right. He's just thinking, well, let's just get to Christmas and have the break and just get this nightmare first half of the season out of the way, as relatively unscathed as he can. And then, yeah, basically say, well, look, we're going to have to take the winter break as a mini pre-season and effectively reboot their season. And that's the thing, that's something that the winter break does. It allows struggling teams, it allows all teams really, if they want to have a bit of a mini reboot of their season if they're having a really bad time. Conversely, if you're having a good season, the last thing you want is a big layoff, but there it is. But Magath, yeah, given the vote of confidence by the board, and they had a board meeting, and he was dragged up on the carpet and told to explain himself, which apparently he successfully did, because they've come out saying, yep, we're happy, and we're going to carry on with Felix. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
We will indeed. Well, as we said, it's tough for Schalke at the moment, but a great result for Kaiserslautern. That's back-to-back wins for them, and they're without a defeat in three. Have they turned a corner in their first season back in the top flight?
Well, they would appear to, yeah. Again, I mean, I'm wary of that particular analogy because, as I said, we've seen plenty of reversing background corners. I mean, you know, I think you still had to, for a passing driving test, you had to practice the reverse round corner. And for all we know, Kaiserslautern could just simply be positioning themselves to pass their driving test. But I think that analogy probably falls short somewhat. So let's go with yes. They've turned a corner. 17 points now. After 14 games, 12th position in the Bundesliga. That's not too bad, is it? Was it 6 points behind Bayern Munich?
That's not bad at all. Next up was the small matter of top versus bottom, the battle of the Borussias, Dortmund and Gladbach. Now, let me give you a few stats from the game. BVB had 68.8% of possession. They made over double the amount of passes than Gladbach, and there's the small thing of 4-1. Dortmund are quite really they are the real deal, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you can argue that Gladbach are a poor side, but I mean, with that, when you've got a really good team and a not so good team or quite a poor team, then, you know, if you're playing really well, then you're generating stats like that. You know, that kind of possession, that kind of passing. I mean, you know, to an extent, running rings around the opposition and then giving them a bally good thumping as well while they're doing it. A complete performance by a team top of the table beating a team, you know, close to the bottom of the table. Big sort of question marks about Barrios's injury and whether Robert Lewandowski can move into that position now and fill the gap while Barrios is out. So there are question marks, and we know from experience that it is early in the, you know, before the winter break, it's dangerous to make too many predictions. But Dortmund, as things stand at the moment, Dortmund, if they were crowned champions at the end of the season, they would be completely deserving if this is how they're going to play for the rest of the season.
And one of the best moments of that game for me, and something I've been drooling about since I saw it, Barrios' back heel for Grosskreutz.
Yeah. In another league, another more high-profile league, shall we say, that would have been, you know, cheered to the rafters as a glorious moment, and a move worthy of the Clásico that we saw. And Barrios is just so much more than just this. When he arrived at Dortmund, he was a battering ram of a player. Someone who was good at trying to push his way through defences, good at slipping away from centre halves, losing himself in the 6-yard box.
That's right. He just had this reputation of, you know, at Colo Colo, where he just scored this amazing amount of goals.
Yeah,
and that makes you think that he's just a little goal poacher.
Mm.
But there's so much more to his game.
No, well, I mean, as he's grown with confidence, I'm almost certain that we'd have to look at Klopp for this, as a Jurgen Klopp, his coach, for this. He's now showing us the full range of his capacities. When he started, of course, he did very little, and then it took him a bit of time to get into it and start scoring goals. But when he started, it was, you know, tentative, just put the ball in the back of the net, and as he's got better and better and better, we've just seen what a cracking player he is, for Dortmund at least.
Well, the future certainly looks good for Dortmund, top of the league, and they've had a couple of key contracts signed of late. Jurgen Klopp, of course, also Marcel Schmelzer and Kevin Grosskreutz. So the future's really looking good for them. But it would be wrong of us not to mention pod favourite Marco Reus. A fine finish in the best moment of a bad night for the visitors, I think you'd say.
Yeah, it was a pretty rotten performance by Gladbach, wasn't it? But Reus is a jewel in that particular crown. We talked about him a lot last week, so we won't dwell too much on him now. But yeah, he's a superb player, destined, alas, for Gladbach fan, destined for bigger and better things, methinks, from next season.
Right, finally, let's talk about Hoffenheim and Bayer Leverkusen. They're 2-2 draw at the Rhein-Neckar Arena. Here was a chance for Bayer to keep pace with the top two and for the Hoff to strengthen their place in the European places. Do you think it was an opportunity missed for both sides?
Well, certainly yes, it was. I mean, on Leverkusen's point, they should have kept hold of their lead and should have closed that game out, frankly. And the Hoffenheim let things slip. Although it was a decent game. But I mean, if you're 2-0 up after 11, 12 minutes, Well, you've really got to be looking to get to try and get a third goal and close that one out. I mean, Hoffenheim will obviously feel that they've, you know, managed to salvage the situation, and they'll feel a lot better out of it. But yeah, really, that a big opportunity for them to make a statement. But again, it still is relatively early days. But great to see another goal from Sydney Sam, mate.
Well, I'd like to insert a James Richardson-esque woof.
Woof indeed. Well, he's turning into pop favourite too, isn't he, Sydney Sam?
Along with
Marco Reus, because I mean, we're absolutely thrilled with seeing him play. I love him. He's cracking so much pace. It's glorious.
I really think he's going to be the key to Leverkusen's success. He just offers so much. Not only his pace, his movement. People can't seem to pin him down, and then there's the end result, which is just dramatic.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I mean, really explosive player. You just hope that he can stay injury free and just be like that for, you know, 3 or 4 years as a Leverkusen player. I think Leverkusen are a fantastic team. They were fantastic last year but ran out of steam. But they really seem to be overcoming their various issues. And, you know, they're in with a great chance, I think, of overhauling a Dortmund and winning the Bundesliga this year. And although I'm kind of a Dortmund man, I would be really pleased if Leverkusen won.
Okay, I'll just put in a doff to the cap for Vedad Ibisevic. He's really starting to assert himself, and he's back to scoring. Ralf Rangnick now has a very potent striking force, so it's good news for them as well. You know, I think that out of this game that they will feel relieved, because it was so late that they brought it back. But let's finish off this part by talking about the other results. I'll just wrap up by giving the other scores. Mainz beat Nuremberg 3-0. Bayern Munich beat Frankfurt 4-1. Hamburg were winners 4-2 over Stuttgart. Hannover won 3-0 against Freiburg. Werder Bremen beat St. Pauli 3-0. And Cologne drew 1-1 with Wolfsburg. So that's the last weekend wrapped up. And after this short break, we'll look at the Bundesliga teams in Europa League. So now on to the Europa League. Leverkusen and Stuttgart played their games on Wednesday night and are both secure in the next round of the competition. Let's start with Leverkusen. They won 1-0 on a tricky frozen night at Rosenborg. That man, Sydney Sam, did the damage, but let's not talk too much about him, but Bayer's progression. 1-3, drawn 2, but crucially only conceded one goal in the group stage. Not a bad way to qualify, considering they had the holders in the group.
Yeah, no, that's why I was thinking the same thing. That's an excellent qualification for Leverkusen, and they'll be confident, I'm sure, of doing something interesting in that. I guess the only thing that will maybe take its toll is that will they fight on two fronts? Will they sort of go for the Bundesliga title and try and see if they can win the Europa League as well? We shall see. But I think it's important for teams like Leverkusen to make it through to the next stage. It's also quite good for the Bundesliga's UEFA coefficient as well. But yeah, a fantastic effort by Leverkusen, reflecting an excellent season so far.
Yes, and it's typical thus of German teams, typically in the UEFA Cup or the Europa League, of how they do are really quite strong. And next was Stuttgart, and it's safe to say that the Europa League has seen their consistent best. They did come a cropper away at Young Boys, though. The result was 4-2, one that isn't wholly surprising, as Young Boys have been pretty much a force in the competition at home. They were 2-1 up at one point, thanks to goals from Pavel Pogrebniak and Sven Shiplock. But they were pegged back with a late surge from the Swiss side. It turns out that this game didn't matter for qualification. Why so much success in Europe while domestically it's been a problem for Stuttgart?
Well, we asked the same question about this, didn't we, last season for Hertha, who were dreadful in the Bundesliga last season, but okay, actually quite good in the Europa League up to a point. I think the easy answer to that is that the Europa League is just simply isn't as strong as the Bundesliga is. And there's possibly some psychological aspects to it as well. Stuttgart have a good side. They've got some good players. But unfortunately, they're playing really badly. And it may well be that they're looking at the Europa League as a bit of a diversion and perhaps a bit of a break. They're relaxing a bit more. They're not feeling the pressure. The crowds are almost certainly going to be smaller. And they may well... So it may just simply be psychological for them.
Absolutely. I've been thinking much the same, that it's been the welcome distraction for Stuttgart. And very much so, like, earlier on in the group stage, Cipri Marica was banging in goals, and as a result he started to pick up a bit of form in the Bundesliga as well, so I think that it has had its benefits, and maybe it may translate into Bundesliga form as well.
Yeah, and for me, I think that that Stuttgart will improve after the winter break again. I think for them, they're another team who, like Schalke, are going, well, let's just see if we can just pick up what we can. You look at the players, they've got Timo Gebhardt, Camoranesi, you know, I mean, Gentner, you know, Trash. These are good players. These are good, good players. Mm-hmm. And they should be, you know, they should be much higher up the division that they are. But I'm certain that they'll turn it around.
Okay, tonight is time for Dortmund to strut their stuff. The likelihood is that by the time you hear the pod, that the result will already be known. But hey, let's give it a go and chat about it anyway. The Europa League hasn't been the best for Dortmund. Their only win so far has been against Kapate, who they take on this evening. Surely a home banker, though. But they will be without Lucas Barrios and possibly even Shinji Kagawa. Time for the likes of Robert Lewandowski to step up, methinks.
Yep, well, again, we talked about this a little bit in part one about Lewandowski. And this is his moment, basically. We're going to find out now. I'm confident that he'll be able to step up because he's got a good grounding in the team. He's been coming off the bench. He's been scoring goals. So now his preparation for this moment has been very good. And now, you know, we will see what happens. But I mean, he couldn't have had better preparation for this moment. And I'm confident, and I'm sure the Dortmund fans are confident that he'll be able to step up. Having said that, Dortmund, I think, are very much in second gear for this competition. I think that they're pleased that they qualified for it, and I think that Klopp sees it as a necessary preparation and experience for future European campaigns. I don't think that they're taking this one that seriously.
The focus very much seems to be on the Bundesliga.
Yeah. Well, Dortmund now have to start thinking about playing in the Champions League next season. Realistically, they have to be thinking, if they're not in the Champions League next season, they're going to have had a really disappointing second half of the season. So this stuff is good. It's good preparation. But, you know, I think Dortmund, to an extent, are about to enter a slightly bigger stage as well.
Well, absolutely. But when it comes to this competition, there is still time for Dortmund to get through to the knockout stages. They're third in the group currently. As I said, their only win so far has been against Kapati. So they really need to pick up points in this one, and then against Sevilla, who they take on next. Let's draw a line under the Europa League. That's done and dusted. In the final part, we'll look at the games coming up this weekend. The big game this weekend for match day 15 has got to be Schalke hosting Bayern Munich. Magat may have his vote of confidence, but nothing would give a bigger morale boost than a win over the champions. But Terry, can you really see this happening?
No, hell no, absolutely not. I think that who knows? Football throws up some bizarre results, but this would be pretty bizarre. Bayern are really just starting to hit their stride now, aren't they? They're playing really well. A really good win against Frankfurt last week. Through into the next stage of the Champions League, they're in a very, very good place to make a good push and have an encouraging last few weeks of the summer season. I can't see Schalke turning that kind of disappointment around so quickly. I think the best they could possibly hope for might be to try and sneak a draw, but I don't know how many draws you get in the Bundesliga, you know, but I don't know whether or not you...
Well, let me tell you, Bayern's record on the road, 3 draws in a row for them in the Bundesliga, so
okay.
They are kind of draw specialists on the road. But really and truly, Bayern Munich need to start turning around some of these away results, start turning them into wins if they're going to start progressing up the table and making an impact in the likes of the Champions League places. For me, that's what I'm thinking. The one thing about Bayern is that, yeah, going forward they're strong, but at the back they're still weak, and we saw that last week with Daniel van Buyten.
They're still Bayern, aren't they? I mean, having said that, for me it's a 3-1 maybe, or perhaps a 2-1 away result. I think it's difficult not to, I mean, because Huntelaar against that Bayern defence, you would think would score a goal.
That's what I'm thinking, that there is firepower in the Schalke ranks that they can get a shock result. I mean it's what they did against Werder Bremen shows that they have the ability to score goals, and if they're catching Bayern on a bad day on the road, I've just got an inkling.
Good for you. Maybe what Schalke will do is they'll just, I mean, they've got these two fantastic players, and then they're being supported by Hurado, supporting, you know, Raul and Huntelaar. They want to be, and there's Farfan, of course, as well. Don't forget him. And, you know, they should just throw themselves at Bayern, because that defence is pretty porous. And just try and just score as many goals as they can. Maybe just take the Thomas Schaaf approach and just try and see if they can get some kind of morale boosting result from you know, against the Bavarians. And you know, it may not get them necessarily out of their bad situation, but at the very least, it would you know, provide them with a minor fillip, you know, going forward. But I'm still sticking with my prediction of an away win.
Okay. Oh well. I certainly see that this could be an interesting game in the sense that it almost has a derby aspect to it, because they are two of the biggest sides in the country. So I think it is one of those, anything can happen. But let's move on all the same. St. Pauli and Kaiserslautern are the Friday night fixture. Two promoted sides from last season. On both occasions last season, it was Lautern who came out on top. They won 3-1 and 3-0. I unfortunately see more of the same at the Millantor this time around. Is there any hope for Der Kiez kicker?
I think there is a modicum of hope for them, yeah. Although their home form is poor, they do need to start producing some kind of results. And Kaiserslautern perhaps will suffer from a lot of newly promoted teams, suffer from, and that's inconsistency. So there's always a possibility that they can get caught out after having had such a fantastic result. They might rock up to the Millantor, where St. Pauli have a poor record at home, and think that they just need to turn up. So if they are complacent, and that's a big if, St. Pauli can take advantage of any complacency, then it's still on. Kaiserslautern have lost 7 games, remember, so you know they are very, very beatable. They always should be considered beatable.
Well, the key point for me, I think, is that St. Pauli just can't find goals, and Kaiserslautern, on recent performances, certainly can. And as we've already mentioned, Sergen Lakic, Ivo Lisevic, they're quite a destructive duo when they're on form.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I was just looking at Kaiserslautern's goal difference. I just realised it's even. They're 12th in the table, one place below Werder Bremen, who are minus 9. So it's all a bit too. I was looking at that. Stuttgart are on 0 as well. Sorry, that was a bit of a diversion, but goodness. I mean, yeah. Kaiserslautern are going to score goals probably, and yeah, I think you're right, there is a major worry with St. Pauli's just not finding the back of the net, especially at home. So
we'll finish off with Wolfsburg versus Werder Bremen. We've just mentioned Werder, but this could be a meeting of Diego against his old club. I think he might be wanting to put one over Thomas Schaaf and co.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, although did they leave on good terms?
I'm not thinking of bad terms. I'm just thinking of, you know, everybody wants to you know, win against their old club, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. People have been saying that maybe they've not been quite so good with with Diego in the side, that maybe they're still struggling to click. I mean, when Musimovic was there, he was much more of a supportive role to Grafić and Dzeko, and with Diego is much more of a kind of one-man band and more of a one-man team player. And so I think he is perhaps just struggling to sort of settle into it. But there's so much about that Wolfsburg team that is just not ready yet. Again, another team that probably can't wait for Christmas. I'm sure Diego will want to take that game by the scruff of the neck. One, to make up for lost time. And also, yeah, to just sort of like show Werder a thing or two. But Werder had a good result, didn't they?
Well, that's true. That's true enough. I mean, they did bounce back a bit against St. Pauli. I mean, on the Diego subject, I mean, he was missing against Cologne through suspension, and I thought that there was quite a lot lacking in the Wolfsburg team because of that in that game against Cologne. So I think that's going to be a welcome return. But Wolfsburg without Grafić for this weekend, it looks like, so that could be a problem for Wolfsburg. I mean, do you still think they've got enough in the tank though to beat Bremen?
I don't know. Both teams, I think, can let goals in, but I don't know. Wolfsburg, they're not terribly convincing. Bremen have had a decent result, although that I think will Almeida presumably be missing through suspension.
Yes, so, I think he's got a 3-game ban.
Right, and that takes effect from the Wolfsburg game.
Yes, so I think
so. Who knows with that? Well, that's a tough one to call. But I think that you could possibly shade it for the home side to take a 2-0 lead, and I don't know, maybe lose 3-2 or something like
this,
that.
This is the thing, you know, with Wolfsburg at home, you never know. I mean, admittedly, those results, those turnarounds came against teams, you know, like Mainz and Bayer Leverkusen. So I don't see Werder Bremen in that kind of mould. So I'm going to stick my neck out here. I am going to say a Wolfsburg win, you know, success for Diego, I think.
Yeah, well, I'd like Wolfsburg to win, because I said before, I want to see more English coaches overseas coaching. So when you got like Steve McLaren, if he's doing well there, if he's providing a bit of a trail for English coaches to go overseas to coach more and broaden their horizons, and indeed English players. But that's an aside. Wolfsburg to win. Home team to win.
Right, well, that's us done for another episode. Don't forget to drop us both a line at our blogs and take a look at what we're writing. Mine's bundesligaworld.blogspot.com, and you can find Terry at bundesbag.com. We're also alive and well on Twitter. I can be found at Bundesliga World, and Terry at Bundesbag. We'd also love for you to get in touch with us by email. You can drop the show a line at bundesligashow@footballfairground.com. Until next time, from both of us, it's goodbye.